Welcome into the Chris Rabbie Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021 edition of the program. I'm going to talk some baseball. I'm going to talk some golf today. We'll get to some basketball over the next couple of days as we continue to decompress from the disappointing weekend. But Drew Silva from NBC Sports is going to be with me in just a couple of minutes. We'll get his thoughts as we are now just about a week away from baseball getting started. And then Rick Gaiman with us a day early as the WGC match play gets started tomorrow, Wednesday, in Austin, Texas. So that's coming up on this Tuesday edition of the Chris Rabbie Show. Don't forget, subscribe to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review and send me a screenshot on Twitter. It's C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. You can also email me, Chris at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and check out everything going on every day at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. All right, let's talk a little baseball as we welcome in Drew Silva from NBC Sports. NBC Sports Edge is where you can read him, NBCSports.com/Edge. You can also follow him on Twitter at Drew Silv. The podcast is Circling the Bases. Does it feel like we're kind of at the almost boring or repetitive part of spring training, which I guess is a good thing considering the last year?
I felt like we got there pretty quickly. And that's just me. Like when the first week of spring training games go down and they're televised, you get a little excited to see baseball on your television, but it quickly just becomes meaningless baseball. And, meaningless baseball is not a great entertainment product. And you're just hoping that, the team you root for or like the fantasy players that you want to draft don't get hurt. I think in general, it's been a pretty quiet spring in that regard. Like, I do fantasy analysis and we haven't had to adjust too many of our rankings because not many fantasy relevant players have gone down with injuries. Like, I don't know, yesterday there was Kirby Yates, who's supposed to be the Blue Jays closer. He had a elbow thing pop up, which is concerning because he missed most of last season with the Padres with a similar elbow thing. Jose Leclerc, who was supposed to be the Rangers closer, went down with a flexor tendon strain. But I don't know, other than that, like Framber Valdez fractured his finger, who's supposed to be kind of the Astros number two starter. But as far as like position players, it seems like we've gotten through this last month plus, mostly unscathed.
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing that everything's kind of rolling along as we would have hoped to this point.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And especially with COVID, too, there were a couple positives during intake testing and there have been some false positives along the way, but definitely no like camp wide outbreaks. And even as we start to see the light at the end of the tunnel of this pandemic, I was worried that you get all these players and staff members into these camps. And, we've seen how quickly this virus can spread. But it seems like they've contained that pretty well, and which is a good sign as teams start to allow fans back in the stadiums. I'm feeling really optimistic at this point about COVID. I worry about like all those kids going to spring break and, how that might affect that light at the end of the tunnel that I was talking about. But hopefully we're nearing the end of this and can get back to some normalcy and have a normal baseball season.
Yeah. What's the most encouraging thing for you outside of just the fact that baseball hasn't stopped to this point? Because it seems that, amidst some uncertainty regarding what's going to happen after this year with the players and owners and the CBA, it seems like both sides have worked pretty well together to this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm surprised that we haven't heard more chatter about the universal DH possibly coming back into the fold. Like, who was it the other day? It was Zach Gallen, former Cardinals prospect, now with the Diamondbacks after spending a little time with the Marlins. He hurt himself swinging a bat. Like there was an up and in pitch and he jerked back his forearm and strained something. And now when he throws his curveball, he can feel it. And that's a problem. And I know you know, probably most of the people listening to your podcast are St. Louis based or, you know, Cardinals fans. And, you know, we're an anti-DH kind of town. We're a little bit more traditionalist. And I've always been that way too. But we know that this DH, the universal DH, is inevitable. And I'm surprised they haven't built that into the health and safety protocols this year. And I understand, like, the players, as they look ahead to those CBA talks next winter, feel like it's a big bargaining chip for them. I don't really think it is a big bargaining chip. I think the owners would be fine with a universal DH coming. And I think everyone knows that it's inevitable. And I guess the players just don't want to give in to the expanded playoffs thing. And that's kind of the bargaining chip for the owners right now. So there's been a little bit of that tension, or I guess I think of it as just lack of communication. They haven't sat down and figured it out. And I guess with only about a week to go, 9 days to go, we can pretty much rule that out from happening. But it wouldn't shock me if we see something like maybe sometime this weekend, if more pitchers get hurt hitting, because they've just started to hit in like Grapefruit League and Cactus League games. And maybe someone's going to take a bunt off one of their fingers or something. But I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that is surprising. And surprising that there wasn't really, I don't know, we kind of laughed about it at first, but there wasn't any semblance really of clarity throughout the offseason about this. And it certainly affected or was, you know, murky water in terms of teams building their rosters and what kind of rules they're going to be playing under.
Yeah, it's crazy when half the league doesn't know the rules as you get all the way through free agency and into spring training. They need to declare something, but it's negotiating outside of the CBA to want to include that into this season. They were able to pull it off last year after some contentious debate. I think people forget how ugly that got before they finally, you know, got summer camp underway and actually started a 60-game season. It was pretty ugly, the negotiations between the players and the owners. You know, these negotiations are happening outside the CBA. The players look at it and say, hey, there's an agreement in place for how this season is supposed to go. We're not going to talk about pay cuts anymore. And if you want to institute a rule change, you have to give us something too. So it's this like behind the scenes, you know, negotiation strategy on each side. And I'm sure the owners feel like they have all the leverage in the world because it looks to me like they do. And so they're not going to give in to minor things with the players. And, you know, they'll readdress these kind of issues once you get to the CBA talks next winter, which could get pretty ugly. I mean, I'm anticipating a strike or a lockout, however you want to qualify it. Yeah. Because but I mean, just prepare yourself because the players want the service time and the arbitration salary structure to change. And that is a huge, you know, undertaking for the owners who really like this, that you only have to pay a player, you know, the league minimum or just over the league minimum for the first 3 years of service you have them. And then you only have to pay them a little bit incrementally raises through the arbitration process. And then they can't hit free agency until they're like 26. If they're lucky, if they arrived when they were 20 years old, or for most players, it's like 28. For a lot of pitchers, it's like 29, 30. And the players look at this system and they say, you know, owners are not paying for past performance anymore. You know, all these front offices have gotten very analytical. They're not going to pay a 30-year-old starting pitcher what they might have in the past. And so the players are going to want that change. And I don't really see where their leverage is. Like, if they think their big leverage is the expanded playoffs, like, oh, we'll give you we'll let you expand the playoffs if you change the salary arbitration, the service time structure, the owners are going to laugh and hang up the phone.
Can anything happen over the course of this season that would lead to maybe better negotiations after this season?
Some kind of peace. It's probably a question for someone who's smarter than I am or knows a little bit more about the CBA than I do. I don't know. I don't see it. I think probably, honestly, the Players Association needs a new leadership. And I say that not really knowing how these negotiations work, but just looking at it from the outside, how they've lost so much leverage to the owners, it seems like they're not being led very well. I know that they've brought in some new people on the like the lawyers side, and maybe that'll help. I don't really know. I mean, can you think of anything that would, you know, give a little peace as we enter? Yeah, I know. I've got nothing.
Yeah, it's just it's brutal because we've just wanted sports to get back and roll along for the last year or so. And now that they are, it's just that one of the big storylines is going to be if this train stops after this season.
Let's just enjoy this season and then we'll worry about that. I think the CBA ends like December 1st. So we'll find out pretty quickly, but yeah, I mean, hopefully we're at the end of this COVID thing and this can be a fairly normal season. And maybe even like by the end of the summer, all stadiums will be full and it'll be a healthy thing, not just, you know, skirting science. It'll be like, hey, this is actually okay to go out and, you know, congregate with strangers again, and maybe concerts will happen. I've been dying to go to a concert for the last year and a half. Had some good concert plans last summer that all got either postponed or canceled. I got to check into those tickets actually, now that I think about it. Had some Rage Against the Machine tickets. I don't know if we'll see huge indoor arena shows like that in 2021, but hopefully, and then like, hopefully as we move into 2022, this thing is eradicated or we've figured out easy ways to vaccinate it like we do with the flu. Again, though, I'm not a lawyer nor a scientist, so I'm underqualified to talk about all these things.
Drew Silva with us. All right. Give me from a fantasy perspective. We talked a little bit kind of big picture a few weeks ago about pitching. Give me from a fantasy perspective, a player that you're really excited about, someone that you think's flying under the radar a little bit that folks should know about if they don't already.
Man, I'm doing this slow draft right now. We're in the 14th round. We started it like a week and a half ago, which it's kind of fun actually, because you take time to look at the board and you don't feel rushed by like, you know, having a minute or 90 seconds on the clock. I like Dylan Moore. I just took him in the 14th round of the Mariners. Eligible at second base and the outfield, had 8 home runs and 12 stolen bases in only 38 games last season. If you extrapolate that pace out to 162 games, that's 35 homers and 52 steals. Also with an 855 OPS, obviously he's not going to sustain those kind of numbers, but man, if he can get like anywhere close, if we're talking about a 25 homer, 25 stolen base kind of guy who's, you know, on a very under, you know, flying under the radar Mariners team. I'm not saying they're going to be good, but they have some big time prospects. Jared Kelenic, Julio Rodriguez, Logan Gilbert, who guys we might see at some point in the majors this year. And Moore's going to bat second. And again, he's going to be their starting second baseman, but he's also eligible in the outfield. So I think about players like that who are on teams that are overlooked. Nick Solak is another one, kind of a similar mold. He's a power speed guy with the Rangers, and he's going late in drafts, like outside the top 200, eligible at second base and outfield, and probably going to have a prominent lineup spot there in Texas because they don't have a whole lot else going on for them. Might even bat like, you know, second or even leadoff at certain points. So now, those kind of players who have multi-position eligibility, who get you power and speed and are kind of on, you know, mediocre to bad teams.
The old mediocre to bad team cherry pick.
That's right.
I like, hey, at least there is some, I know I keep saying this, but just some semblance of normalcy for now. And, you know, with the tournament going on and with baseball getting started, here's to, like you said, getting back to concerts and getting back to all the stuff that maybe we took for granted. But we're getting there, slowly but surely.
Yeah. How have you enjoyed the tournament so far? Have you watched it every day pretty much?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, like, bummer for all the area teams, you know, the SLU and SLU not even getting in and then losing the NIT, but Mizzou and Illinois. But, no, it's been good. Like, the basketball has been pretty good. You know, there haven't really been any hiccups outside of the one game to this point, which I think is all you can really ask for, right?
Yeah. Are you, I kind of actually, this is probably a selfish thing, but I enjoyed having the Monday full slate.
Oh,
you
know,
usually it's, yeah, but I'm a work from home guy.
Oh yeah. Totally out of nowhere. Yeah. And like, think about what we were doing last year on Monday or on whatever, March 22nd last year. It wasn't watching a full slate of college basketball with baseball on and NBA and NHL that night. It was not that whatsoever.
No, I don't know what I was doing. I was probably trying to,
like, in 4 weeks, this will be over.
Yeah. Trying to get my girlfriend, now fiance, to like play a board game with me or something.
Have you enjoyed it to this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy year, and I should have baked some more of that into my brackets and my betting, that there would be a lot of up seats, and that, like, you know, a 15 seed or a 12 seed seems just as dangerous as a 3 or 4 seed. But I didn't watch Gonzaga, like, maybe more than a half during the regular season, and they are so right. impressive. Super fun to watch. They play so under control, and they have, like, all the pieces that you'd want. Great point guard, great outside shooting, good big men. They're really fun to watch, and Baylor has a bunch of monsters too. So I kind of see those two teams meeting in the Final Four. I think Illinois was a dangerous team to get there, but now that they're out, I don't believe much in Michigan. I actually was really hoping LSU would pull that off last evening. So I had LSU in as like a, I think I put $10 on them to win that region and it paid like 170, which would have been cool as an 8 seed. And they blew through the SEC tournament.
Yeah, they're good, man.
Yeah, they were really good. And man, they were up at by 8, I believe, in the first half. So I was feeling good about myself, and then Michigan pulled away.
Yeah, it's the way it works. And like with the upsets and stuff, it's the ultimate every year. You're like, man, I should have like gone out on a limb and picked a few more of those, and then like, I always just end up filling out the bracket the same way the next year.
Same. And I mean, I've been filling out a bracket since probably second grade, and I don't think I've ever had any sort of success with them. I think it's almost better to just blindly pick teams.
Oh, 100%. You know, that's usually the person that ends up like winning.
Totally. It's like your friend's aunt, like, you know.
Yeah, based on like the mascots. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Silva, NBC Sports Edge. Check out the podcast as well. And appreciate it, man. We'll keep chatting as we get closer to baseball going. And always enjoy it. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you got to come up with a draft topic.
Yes, we'll do it. Next time we do it. Next time we'll do a draft. Next time we'll do a draft of drafts we have to do.
We can brainstorm over text.
Later, buddy.
See you, man.
Quick break. Rick Gaiman talks WGC match play with us. When we come back, it is the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized. Add items on the go, plus you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. All right, Rick Gaiman joins us. RickRungood.com is the website, and we get started a little early on the PGA Tour this week. That's because the WGC match play gets going tomorrow. DraftKings rosters lock at 9:30 Central on Wednesday morning. Rick, what's going on, man? How are you? Quick turnaround after the Honda.
Yeah, very quick turnaround, and it's an absolutely stacked field. It's a format that we don't get to see, Chris. It's match play. This is all different types of strategy. It's all different types of fun. It should be a great viewing experience for the now 5 days of golf that we get.
Yeah, and at rickrungood.com, you've got all of the information, including the logs of players and their individual matches, the aggregate scores and records and everything. Give us an idea first, Rick, if folks are playing DraftKings this week with the match play, just what it's like and kind of big picture how you approach this as you start to begin to pick your team and evaluate the field in, as you said, a much different type of situation.
Yeah, I could certainly nerd out on this for a while, and I have this week, but essentially what's going to happen is the scoring's a lot different. It's no longer about birdies, pars, bogeys, eagles. It's about how many holes you win in match play. So if you're new to that format, it's one-on-one. It's head versus head. If Chris makes a three on a hole and I make a four, he wins that hole. If he makes a three and I make a seven, he still wins that hole. It's just one hole. The strokes don't essentially matter, but the big thing you are constructing lineups, Chris, is to know what the bracket looks like, because there are guys who are in the same groups with one another. You certainly do not want to pick two golfers from the same group in your lineup, because only one of them can advance to the Sweet 16. So it really becomes strategy, knowing the path for, I mean, we should be used to this with March Madness going on, the path to the Final Four, and making sure that you don't pick golfers who are going to run into each other too early.
All right, Rick Gammon is with us. Rick, run good day. .com is the website. Let's take a little look at the bracket right now. Again, the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. It'll be at Austin Country Club Wednesday through Saturday. And instead of going group by group, give me an idea, Rick, of how you evaluate the top players in the world who are seated and dispersed in each group, and who you're looking at in terms of form coming into this event, who you're targeting as you start to look at the top of the board on DraftKings.
For sure. So there are the top 16 golfers in the world. They all got spread out in their own group, and then they drew ping pong balls essentially to fill out the rest of the group. And over the first 3 days, every golfer in the group is going to play one another. So for example, Dustin Johnson is going to play Kevin Na, Robert McIntyre, and Adam Long in each of his first three matches. That is objectively, I think, the pretty softest group. Dustin Johnson in group one, he got a great draw. No surprises there. If you compare that to Justin Thomas's group, just on the other side of the bracket, this is the group of death. This is Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Kisner, and Matt Kuch are going up against Justin Thomas. And Louis Kiz and Kuch have been phenomenal in match play. In fact, Louis Oosthuizen has won more matches in this event since 2015 than any other golfer on the planet. So that's a really tough draw for Justin Thomas. So that's kind of how I start evaluating some of these, Chris. You know, it's what group are they in? How difficult is the group? What is their path if they get out of the group? And then really the big thing for me is how annoying would it be to play against them, right? That's where Bryson DeChambeau comes into play. You know, he's going to bomb it past you every single time you tee off, which is intimidating. And then because you're behind him, you're going to have to hit your second shot first. He's going to have so much more information than you throughout the entire round. He's just going to lean on his opponents each and every shot. It's going to be a grind. I think Bryson potentially, I'll spoil it right now, I think Bryson wins this thing.
Wow, Bryson is the third most expensive player on DraftKings right now at $10,900. So as we look towards the guys who are sprinkled into these brackets and we make our way down a bit, Rick, the DraftKings rosters, how are you looking at value? And how are you, I'm sure that one thing that most people maybe get hung up on or trip up on in this kind of format is thinking about guys that can advance. Well, maybe we're not looking at guys that can advance and win this thing. We're looking at guys, again, that can win matches, that can win holes. So who fits that model for you as we're looking for some value?
Yeah. So the other interesting thing, it's very easy to look at this bracket and just move all the favorites on, and especially out of the groups. That doesn't happen. This is a very, very volatile format, match play over 3 days and just kind of the random aspect of golf. Last time we played this in 2019, only five of the 16 top seeds made it out of their own group. That means 11 top seeds failed to make it out of their group. So you can embrace a bit of volatility. So I'm looking at someone like a Paul Casey, who is $8,900 on DraftKings. He is in Webb Simpson's group. So he is less expensive than Webb Simpson, but he actually has shorter odds to advance from his group. That is a rare thing. Then I look at other skill sets, and a guy that pops off to me is Lonto Griffin. He's $6,900. The two things that Lonto Griffin does really, really well is he hits his irons well and he putts well. He's top 20 on tour in both of those categories. And if you think about match play, and if you think about putting as much pressure on your opponent as possible, if you are firing darts at pins and you're rolling in putts, Chris, you're going to run away with it. Like, if he's on top of his game and he has everything going, he's going to dominate this. He's in a group with Rory McIlroy, which you could argue is a good thing or a bad thing. Rory's obviously struggled with his swing lately. So he's going to have to make it out of that group. But if Griffin does, I think he can go on a run here.
Rick Gammon, rickrungood.com is the website, rickrungood.com. What is one guy that we should stay away from? Do you have a fade or someone that you think is going to be highly owned that you're not on this week, Rick?
I think the most concerning group in general is group 14. I don't know what to do with any of these guys.
Yeah, it's Daniel beat up on each other, right?
Yeah. It's Daniel Berger. It's Harris English, Brendan Todd, and Eric Van Ruin. Daniel Berger had an MRI last Monday and withdrew with a rib injury from the Honda Classic. He said Tuesday morning, he's about 70%. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what 70% of Daniel Berger is. Harris English hasn't played all that well since he won the Tournament of Champions. Brendan Todd's a great putter, which is usually good in this format, but he's 0-3 in his match play career. And then Eric Van Ruin's kind of all over the place. He's a volatile golfer in general. So the good thing about creating some of these lineups is you don't have to pick every single group. I can just avoid group 14, find my players elsewhere and not really have to worry about it.
Rick Gammon, rickrungood.com. You can get all of the match play information. Also, you can get all of the Punta Cana information for this weekend as well at rickrungood.com. Follow Rick on Twitter at rickrungood.com and check out the CBS First Cut podcast. Appreciate it, man. Happy to do this a little early. Enjoy the match play, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Chris. Talk soon.